like a rose trampled on the ground.
You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Yeah, this is just, it's like Doolin Dalton said this morning when he used the word disturbing. And I was like, yes, that's the appropriate word. It disturbed me so much that that's why I invited you to come in and co-host at the last minute. Thank you, because I'm just befuddled over this. It's just, I go, no wonder God in Genesis said that he repented of having made man.
Yeah, but, yeah, and I get it, Rhett, and yet, being in ministry, I've seen some very evil things. I've seen the demonic at work, and once you've had a personal experience, personal encounter with the demonic, you know that anything is possible. And so as awful as this all sounds, in some ways it sounds very consistent to me with how the demonic works.
How is your newspaper handling all this? Are they in your corner, you know, allowing you carte blanche on all this stuff?
They have been, my editors have been wonderful. They've stood behind me the entire time. I'm not the only reporter that has gone after this. All of our colleagues are very good on these issues. They understand the biblical view of sexuality, gender, how we are made, creation, Genesis 1. Those are our core values, and so that really does help. I do know of other journalists, though, that have had a very hard time, who they see the same things that we see, even if they're not Christians, and the ideological capture of their newsrooms does not allow criticism to get through to the public. I mean, it's very... One of the reasons this has gone on for so long is that the mainstream press has been the sort of the phalanx, protective phalanx around.
Yes.
I mean, the gender industry, as I sometimes call it. We would not be seeing girls as young as 12 and 13 have their breasts cut off had the media done their jobs and actually reported this, because in fact they lie and they run interference for these doctors who they'll say, oh, that's not happening, or it's happening to so few, why do you care? They'll gaslight. It's been awful. I remember, especially in 2022, the summer, when Boston Children's Hospital, which is the site of the first ever pediatric gender clinic to open in the United States in 2007, when their videos were exposed that, yeah, they were doing these things to children. And then it was just this slew of sympathetic media coverage, and the mayor of Boston came out, all these, oh, that's not happening, this is healthcare for children. They just lie. And I got so angry, I spent part of my weekend just making a list of boom, 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 where coherent, just the medical journals, peer-reviewed documentation. This is not, you know, right-wing media. This is like the Journal of Clinical Medicine, The Lancet, Obstetrics and Gynecology, the Journal of Sexual Medicine, documented page numbers, chart tables showing from the gender clinicians' mouths themselves saying that, yes, we are doing these things to children. We're cutting off the genitals of 15- and 16-year-old boys. We're amputating the breasts of 13-year-old girls. It's in their own words. And so I made a list of just... Here you go. This is the original source material. You say this isn't happening. Well, I have the receipts proving otherwise. It's been so frustrating because of the wall of lies we have had to punch through just to get that information out there to the public that, yes, it is happening. And no, you're not crazy for seeing what you're seeing. Because I finally, people have woken up, it seems. And the administration now and all the Department of Justice, the Federal Trade Commission, the Health and Human Services Department have all taken action against these practices, and it could not be a more stark contrast from the previous 4 years.
You're doing great work, Brandon.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is quite a, you know, bringing up the this journalism thing. You know, when I grew up, I always considered journalists to be the watchdog organizations. I know they always skewed, even as a young guy, towards the left, but nonetheless, I thought I could absolutely trust them. I mean, it was Sam Donaldson, who I believe was probably on the left. He was a very famous reporter, I think NBC, and he's the one that found out that Biden, back in 1988, had lied and said that he had 3 degrees, and he was the top of his class. And Sam Donaldson approached him. He was running for the presidency back in 1988 and said, sir, you said you had 3 degrees. It turns out you only have one. You said you were in the top of your class. You were actually in the bottom of your class. And he confronted Biden. Maybe that's why we don't hear about Sam Donaldson anymore. But he confronted Biden, and Biden had to step out of the race. But what they do then, these evil guys, like I guess he's turning out to be, they step aside, disappear for a year or two. The public forgets and they come right back in and as if nothing happened whatsoever. And so what I'm concerned about now, may I ask you this, Brandon, how old are you?
40.
Okay, you're 40. So, you know, I'm 71. So you're the generation behind Pastor John and myself. And I'm very hopeful that something new, either you or even some of the people coming up under you, younger than you, I'm an optimist. I believe that the pendulum has swung this way. I think that your generation is going to come up with some sort of a safety net or something, or maybe you'll have to get a certain title given to you that you are a bona fide, objective journalist who vows, like a doctor does, to tell the truth, whether you like it or not. And I just don't know how corrupt this goes. We know about, who's that that real ugly man that puts up all the money that supports the far extreme left, the billionaire?
George Soros.
Yes. And so, I mean, I don't know how, you know, I mean, let's say I'm a young journalist like you, Brandon, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm making $150,000 a year, $200,000, whatever it is, you all get paid when you're at the top of your craft. And the guy says to me, hey, Rhett, you're not going to put that on TV tonight or on your show, because if you do, you're fired. And how are you going to feed your three young children? Okay, boss, whatever you say, I got to do.
Yeah. No, it does take a ruthless commitment to the truth, no matter how inconvenient it may be. And, you know, I'll tell you, the gender horror that I've spent an inordinate amount of time covering is, in one way, it's very, very hard because it's just so brutal and ugly and depraved, and staring into that abyss is just hard no matter what. But my editors do have integrity. What's harder still, I will say, is when you have to confront things within the church, and where, you know, it takes more courage actually to go up against the people that you think are your friends. And I mean, I was one of the reporters that was reporting on the Ravi Zacharias scandal years ago. And let me tell you, when I was reporting on some of those things where it was, nobody expected that he was the character that he was. And I was getting the evidence that he really wasn't who a lot of people said he was. And I was reporting a lot of that difficult material. I got some hate mail from Christians, let me tell you. And so
let me ask you this. Now, I met that guy. He came in to speak at our annual prayer breakfast here in Vero Beach, Florida.
Yeah.
And I think he died, right? And
he did in 2020.
And I don't keep up with gossip. So what was revealed about this guy?
Well, there were several things. And it first emerged in 2017. I actually had a sit-down interview with him as well in May of that year. And then months later, it became clear. It was actually an atheist guy by the name of Steve Boffman, who I still consider a friend, and we still talk every once in a while, that he had inflated his credentials, but he had misrepresented who he was academically. There was a lot of sort of credential falsification and misrepresentation. But then it was also that he had engaged in sexual impropriety, and it even got worse. So there was a woman by the name of Lorianne Thompson that he'd made a suicide threat because he had been in an online relationship with that was very exploitative and improper. And then it was exposed that he was in a massage parlor doing really disturbing sexual things with people that worked there. And that's, I'll just be polite here on the air, but it was ugly. It all kind of came out forensically documented by Julie Royce, and then other reporting at Christianity Today. But I was, at the time, I was sort of on the earlier side in 2017, and that time when earlier stuff came out. And then as things dribbled out, it eventually came out. But a lot of it wasn't fully revealed until after his death in 2020. But that was not an easy thing to report on. And I've reported on other situations where it's people that generally have the same worldview as you, but are in fact kind of conniving, their narcissistic, and but they have the wool over people's eyes, and it's hard to hold people accountable that are otherwise believers in the same core values that you hold, but are in fact wolves in sheep's clothing. And that's not fun. I mean, reporting on the transgender horror is a piece of cake compared to that. but it's that same dogged, ruthless commitment to the truth that you have to have no matter what, whether it's people who think like you or people who don't.
Let me be clear, Brandon. Everything you said about Ravi Zacharias, I totally agree with. The problem was he did so many good things for the body of Christ. That it's just
that's
so
makes it hard, the mixture.
And you're trying to make, how do you make sense of this thing? How do you, but sadly,
the cognitive dissonance will break your brain. Yeah. It really is. It's brutal. Yeah.
So, but I want to share one other thing that I've come back to again and again about the LGBTQI community. And it was interesting. I had to look this up. The Christian Post actually reported in October of 2023, Catherine Kaiser, that she was reporting that in 1989, Bob Jones had an encounter with the Lord in which he was shown 100,000 people from the LGBTQ community being saved, healed, and transformed. And he saw them becoming intercessors, evangelists, and great lovers of God. And went on to say that they would become the greatest evangelists of their generation.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was that's actually she's a friend of mine. That's a columnist contributor for our op-ed page. I curated that one. I know Miss Kaiser pretty well, and it is, I can tell you, especially I'm very much a believer in historic Christian sexual ethics. We as a publication hold those values. We marriage between a man and a woman. Only kind of sexual activity that God blesses is inside of a marriage between a man and a woman, where we are totally biblically rooted on that and on all things at CP. Having said that, it's been fascinating because as I've been covering this trans and queer horror stuff, as I've been inundated from LGB types who are scared out of their minds, and some of them have become whistleblowers, and they will talk to anybody. And look, I want to keep the communication channels open, no matter how much I may, you know, disagree theologically or philosophically. I've talked to a wide swath of people who, when you see children getting hurt, when you see teenagers having their body parts cut off, when you see young people be rendered sterile, some existential crises are, they're like, what? It rattles people.
Yeah, some of these lesbians are coming forward.
Yes.
Oh, no, this is not us. This is
right.
Not-
and it's, so it's like, I am firmly committed to the teaching of our faith with respect to these issues. I still want to urge every Christian who's listening to talk to people, because you would be surprised at the kind of folks that are in my inbox these days that are saying, what can I do to help? I'm scared out of my mind. This is the most evil thing I've ever seen. I can't support this.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer. And this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Pleens Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie for sponsoring It's a New Day. We'd also like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting us.
Jesus, we lift up your name.